Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Steve Hartman.
Whatever I say is to move my agenda in the direction I want to go. You haven't figured that out already.
Mike Costa.
I didn't know pigs could dribble a basketball.
It's Loose Cannons time.
Welcome to our Tuesday edition, the Loose Cannons on Extra 1360, Fox Sports San Diego, and 103.3 FM.
What's up, buddy?
It's good to be back.
It's great to have you back.
I took a day yesterday. It was a charity golf tournament for a friend of mine who passed away.
Okay.
Way too young, unfortunately. Got a chance to see some old friends of mine going back to the day. It harkened back to...
Satan's playpen?
Well, it did, yeah. Back in the day. Back in the 80s when I was working for the Silver and Black.
Yes! And,
it was a much different world. And as I saw with many of my old friends I hadn't seen in a while... Apparently, they haven't stopped.
It's taking its toll.
They're like, how have you sort of been on hold all these years and the rest of us haven't? And
did you tell them human blood? Hello? You know,
exactly. Go vampire, man. It works every single time.
Miraculous.
So it's great to be back. How was Pete yesterday?
You know, I tell you what, Pete Fox is a trooper because he had some major whatever going on cold-wise.
Oh, really?
And his nose was kind of like this. And, he said, I asked him at one point, did you take some cold medicine? He goes, yeah, you know where they say take 2 every 4 hours? I'm taking 4 every 2 hours.
Oh, great. So he was in a perfect state of mind, I'm sure. That'll be entertaining.
But Pete was great as usual.
Pete was testing his gambling waters for the season, asking over-unders for almost every team at some point during the commercial breaks. Yankees, 94 wins, over-under.
So that's what he spent. Well, he did that last year. Remember at the end of last year with the Padres, he had taken the over,
yeah,
which
he's,
I thought
he's
was a real risk,
now.
And he won. He won big. So, all right, well, we got a lot of things going on this Tuesday we're going to get to. First of all, we get ready for the Final Four, and as you know, we are your home of March Madness here, and the semis are going to be on Saturday. I haven't had a chance. I know you talked about this yesterday. I love this Final Four. I mean, to me, this is classic. I mean, you got the Blue Bloods. You got the two number one seeds, Villanova and Kansas on one side. You got Michigan, who won the Big Ten Conference Tournament, red hot team against, in fact, that matchup between Loyola and Michigan are the two teams with the current longest winning streaks.
Really?
Right now. So I love it. Now, here's the deal. All right, so Saturday, of course, both games will be the semis.
Yes.
Championship Monday. Next Monday, you can hang out with us, the Cannons.
We're going to be downtown.
The American Junkie is the place we're going to be at. I haven't been there yet, but it's got screens everywhere.
No,
great venue.
It's a great venue.
Great venue downtown in the Gas Lamp. So that's where we're going to be Monday doing our show and then obviously stay and watch the championship game. So that'll be Monday, American Junkie out in the Gas Lamp.
And we talked about it for a good portion of the show yesterday, the fact that you have the number one seeds Villanova and Kansas, and then do you call Loyola a Cinderella? I mean, 11th seed.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Going against maybe some would consider a blue blood basketball program in Michigan.
Sure.
And is it better to have Michigan and Kansas, Michigan and Villanova in the national championship game, or do you want the Ramblers there?
A lot of times this happens, though, where it appears that the semifinal game is the matchup.
Which you might have this year.
I mean, but let's always go back. You know, 1983, you had Phi Slamma Jamma, one of the greatest teams ever. Number one ranked Houston. You got Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon on the same team going against a Louisville team that was loaded. And it was one of those, Houston, Jam City. And the other semi was this nondescript NC State Georgia game that nobody watched. And so when Phi Slamma Jamma blew out Louisville, it's like, that's it.
Fait accompli.
They're like, nah, they technically have one more game to play. Well, that one more game turned out to be one of the great upsets in college basketball history. So, no, to me, it doesn't really matter who wins the Villanova-Kansas game. And these are obviously elite programs. I just rooting hard for Loyola, man. I want to see that Loyola team somehow get it done against Michigan and get themselves to that championship game.
I was telling these guys yesterday, once Duke was eliminated and eliminated in the fashion that they were with
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, thank you. Get out of here.
Yep.
To me, it is all gravy in these last three games. So whatever matchup we get, it's awesome. Whatever the championship game is, as long as it's not one of those UNLV over Duke that year blowouts.
Oh, I love that, though. That was Duke going down
hard. That's
true.
It was Duke.
That was beautiful.
But as long as we have a semi-competitive game on Monday night when we're going to be down there at American Junkie, it's all good. It's all good.
So we continue on. By the way, did you see the brackets? I guess ESPN had 17.3 million brackets
with this
that were
Final
submitted.
Four?
No. 17.3 million brackets were submitted. No, there were about 500 and I think it was 570 that had this Final Four.
All right.
Which, again, it's not that, two number ones and a three. A lot of people had those three getting in. The question is, how many people actually had Loyola? Of course, our own Kyle here, he had Loyola going deep in the tournament, just randomly picking an 11 seed,
in this
going on a run.
And our executive producer, Kyle Englehart, he has won the Fantasy Football League here before.
I know that.
He's won the March Madness bracket here before.
Yes.
And then you talk to him before, like he's filling out his bracket or before he drafts his team. Hey, what do you think? He goes, I don't know. I'm just going to grab whoever.
Right.
Don't worry about
me. Well, it's working for him. Maybe that
attitude. It's working big time.
So anyway, he somehow, some way had Loyola going real deep in this tournament. All right. So we got that going on Monday again. American Junkie in the Gasland hanging out with us to watch the championship game. And of course, we are now 2 days away from opening day. How do you feel about that, Costa, that all 30 teams?
Hot talent lava. Hot talent lava. Hot talent lava.
How are you feeling it, San Diego?
That goes to tell you how we're feeling it right there.
Yeah. You remember in the old days, there would be opening day with the Cincinnati Reds, and they picked the Reds because they were the first team dating back to 1869. But this is the first time since 1969, I think it is.
But is it everybody on the same day?
All 30 teams are opening simultaneously.
Shouldn't that be what opening day is, period?
Which I like because that brings back a little bit of that nostalgia. Although I liked when the Reds opened up.
Well, you can't have it both ways, Ernie. Either you liked it the way it was, or you liked it the way it is.
In order of a timeline, I'd rather the Reds open up the way it was, but I will take all the teams opening up rather than one team or two teams opening on the other side of the world and the rest of the season starting like 5 days later.
It's terrible idea.
Yeah, that was lame. By the way, I want to get your thoughts on this schedule for the Padres as they open up against the Brewers on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they're off on Easter Sunday. When is the last time you remember no baseball on a Sunday?
That's sacrilegious.
Even Easter Sunday, right?
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, when Brent first told me like 3 weeks ago, I was like, what?
Because I originally thought, are they opening with a four-game series against the Brewers?
Exactly.
No, they're playing three, and they're off on Sunday.
Hmm.
Who has a Sunday off in the baseball season?
Well, hello. It's the rising of the dead of the Easter Bunny. Hello.
Oh, wait a second. Speaking of that Eastern Sun, well, that gives Toph a lot more time to be looking for eggs.
He's got competition this year, though. Yeah, that was breaking news yesterday.
What happened?
There's no singular Topher Costa Easter egg hunt this year.
Say what happened.
We've got a couple different families who will be at our house for Easter dinner.
Now, their kids are like 20, 21 years old, or what's...
Well, and I asked Costa, like, how many Mercedes-Benz can he put in your backyard?
Are Drake and Garrett going to be there in Paris? My kids? They might go for one more
they're
run.
They're down here.
Yeah. But depends on what are in those eggs.
No, they're going to be... I asked Costa, how many cars could you hide in your backyard?
Yeah. I can get a Tesla behind one of the trees.
Who are these families? Was this a potluck thing?
Or No. Very, very close personal friends of ours. So,
Where have they been over the years? Have they just showed up this year?
No. We just invited them because they didn't.
Well, wait a second.
Their invite just showed up with the mail.
So, remind everyone again, how old is Toph?
He's 15 and a half. He'll be 16 in August.
Okay. And how tall is Toph?
He's almost 6'2".
6'2", weight-wise, what do you think?
He's about 175.
175.
Yeah.
Now, are these other families bringing like 4- and 5-year-olds or 3- and 4-year-olds competing against Tove?
I think that, no.
What's the competition he's stacked up against?
My godson, David, is 11.
11.
So we're 11 through 15 with their kids.
Mm-hmm. And he's about 4'9".
And David's got a little growing to do. And then I've got friggin' Lurch with his Easter basket.
This is going to be like when you go to the ballpark and there's like some 40-year-old man that shoves over like exactly. a 12-year-old for a foul ball.
Now, this is going to be really awkward, you no, know, because Tofu low competition, man. Yeah. He's going to love it. What if he grabs everyone and the other ones are left crying with nothing in their hands?
Then you say, kids, life lesson learned. You want something in life?
Trophy.
Yeah, go get it. It's not my fault. You're a loser.
All right.
I will videotape it, though, this year. We'll have it at sportssd.com the Monday right. after.
Well, since there's no baseball game, at least Padre game on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Ernie, what are you going to do? No Padre baseball on the first Sunday of the season? And how does this affect us? You realize, you know, we have Padres plus 3.
You better make something up on Monday.
Yeah.
We can do Friday's game.
We could do Saturday's game,
yeah,
right?
Combo. Yeah, combo. Little combo right there.
Or but, Steve Garvey's greatest all-time hits.
Why not? Or somebody from...
Oh, my. All right, so Thursday, opening day, we've got Clayton Richard. You know, I was talking to our buddy Clint over there at KGB. And look, when I'm looking at the Padres this year, offensively, they got to be better, right? They can't be any worse. They were last in the majors in runs scored, batting average, just about every offensive category. I think offensively, they'll be fine. I think the bullpen's solid. But what do you make of this starting rotation, guys? I mean, you got Richard, obviously, the Nelson Lett is out. For a little while, we're not sure on that one.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a blow waking up to find out he'd left the Sunday game with the elbow strain.
But it could be an opportunity for Tyson Ross. Now we don't know for sure who's going to jump in, Robbie Erlin or Tyson Ross, but it could be a great opportunity for one of those guys.
Yeah, and if you're Andy Green or Darren Balsley, if you could, let's say you do move Tyson Ross into that second day position, or you do a little juggling, whatever the case may be. It is a great early indicator of what Tyson Ross may be able to bring you or may not bring you this year. One game does not a season make. I realize that. But to me, it's like an early opportunity to see, all right, what's Ross dealing with this year?
And it's only going to – if it works out to the benefit of the Padres, it only strengthens the pitching staff. Now, obviously, we will wait and see how Richard starts off and how he progresses as that leader. But it potentially can strengthen – the pitching staff.
Well, the off day on Sunday that you're so upset
about
yes. actually works out well for the Padres with Denelson's injury. And I'll explain why. So either Erlin or Ross will fill in on the Friday game. Perdomo goes Saturday, and then you're off Sunday. Then Mitchell will be the fourth starter. He'll get his debut on Monday, and then they'll be able to have the same four guys because of that off day all mm-hmm. on their normal rest. So that means they really don't have to establish a fifth starter until game 9, okay? And by that time, you know, hopefully Denelson Lett is okay. Who knows? I mean, the Padres said, remember it was 2 years ago when Tyson Ross opening day got hurt, yeah. and they said, it's temporary. Yeah. He missed the next 161 games.
Temporarily permanent.
I think Robbie Erlin was the same way, right? Where they said he had a slight injury, and the next thing you know, he's got Tommy John.
We're waiting, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it opens up nicely, I think, for the Padres with this injury.
And with Lamet's injury, you know, there of course it's concern because it's an elbow with your pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like they are overly concerned, like this is just the tip of an iceberg to something that might be a bigger problem down the road.
Yeah, but like I said, they did the same thing with Tyson Ross. Yeah. They said, well, we're not overly concerned, and he missed the rest of the year. So, by the way, Tony Gwynn Jr., Anthony, is going to be joining us coming up here at 3:30 to talk much more about what we should expect from the Padres. Now, speaking of the rest of the National League West, right now, as we look at the season, I want to start with the Giants for a moment here. Giants coming off a disaster, 64-98, and now Bumgarner's out again.
Is it a finger problem?
He got hit in the hand.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah, he broke
his hand or whatever.
The report is, if he comes back before the All-Star break, oof. That might be wishful thinking. All right. So he's going to be out for at least a couple of months right now. The Giants farm system is totally barren. So they signed all these veterans. You know, mm-hmm. they got McCutcheon. They got all these guys coming in right now. I want to ask about Bochy, our beloved Bruce Bochy. A couple of things about Bochy. You know, after last year's 64-98 record tagged onto his resume, you know, Bruce Bochy's career record as a manager is 1,853-1,855.
Oh, my God.
And we assume
the Jeff Fisher of baseball.
Right. So we assume because every single manager, every manager that has won at least three World Series is in the Hall of Fame. But none of them had a losing record. I mean, is that, you know, maybe Connie Mack had a losing record, but yeah. I mean, but if they have a couple more really bad years.
Well, a couple more really bad years, I think Bruce Bochy is going to get into Cooperstown. A couple more bad seasons delays the process. But I think, come on, three rings in this in the time span that he did it with the Giants, I think that's the bulk of the resume.
Against the Tigers, the team that was just supposed to dominate that year.
Right.
Against the Royals.
Yes.
And the Rangers.
Then the Rangers, yes. So, no, I think Boch is in. But it just you think about it, he actually has a losing career record as a manager after last year's disaster.
But they are all chips into the middle of the table this season.
But that's it. I mean, and if again, without Bumgarner, that rotation is shaky. Samardzija, are you kidding me? Let me ask you this. If I were to tell you the Padres will win three of the next five World Series, but then you will suck for the next 20 years, would you sign up for that?
Yes. Where's the piece of paper?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'll do it in blood. I mean, I'll do it in Ernie's blood. Yeah.
As opposed to sucking for 49 straight years, right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And, you know, when you start going through those sucky years, you just pop in the replay video the year that was and make yourself feel all better.
What do you mean? Ernie still pops in the video of the 1984 National League Championship Series.
That's what the internet's for,
How many times have you ever watched that?
That's how starved I am for a World Series.
It's unbelievable.
In a heartbeat.
So he keeps looking at that. So the Giants, to me, I think the Giants are going to be in a tough way. They're not going to be as bad, but they're not going to be a whole lot better this year. Two teams that really shocked everybody last year were the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. The Rockies, you know, with our buddy over there doing the job.
87-75.
Yeah, they got into the playoffs. Well, right. They got into the one-game playoff. But I don't think they're that good. And I don't think the Diamondbacks are that good. I mean, the Diamondbacks were a shocker last year, as good as they were.
Yeah, especially you got Greinke starting the season for the D-backs now on the DL with the groin problem. But still, a D-backs team 93-69 last year. I think they'll be in the conversation. But sorry, Padre fans, I still look at the Dodgers as that's the team to beat. I think the Dodgers will come back to earth a little bit this season. They may not have that runaway like they did. But I still think that's the team you're gunning for.
Well, they've won the division four straight years. They've dominated the National League
West.
And
did they really have any big attrition this year from that team last year?
They're pitching. I mean, they don't have pitching. I mean,
but they still get it done.
You have Clayton Kershaw, who, by the way, this spring had a zero ERA. I mean, he looks like he could win 30 the way he's pitching right now. But he's had back problems. And so a couple of the years, he hasn't been able to have the full 32 starts. You have to wonder about that as he turns 30 years old. But the rest of that rotation, Rich Hill, who's 38 years old, 39 years old, Kenta Maeda. I mean, I think the Dodgers pitching is not that great. And they're cutting payroll. You know, they're no longer the number one payroll team in baseball. They've fallen down the charts. So they're cutting loose a lot of guys. Is Cody Bellinger going to be better than he was as a rookie? Is he going to take a step back? What we saw in the World Series with the record number of strikeouts?
Oh, he has to.
Is that going to carry over into this season? You think Chris Taylor, who came out of nowhere to have that kind of season a year ago, obviously they're going to be without, you know, your star at third base for a while. To me, the Dodgers, what happened last year, that run they had where they were just off the charts, that doesn't happen.
Going in, I think in the NL West, I think the offense is going to be fine across the board. I think the Giants are questionable, But I think those veterans can go out and hit and make it entertaining. But after your first two starters for all five teams, it's really
marks.
A question. And they always say it comes down to pitching. It's about who's going to have the stronger bullpen, the stronger setup guys. But when it comes to starting rotation, after the first two couple guys in all five teams, it's a question.
Well, but the team with the best two top starters is Arizona.
Yes.
And Robbie Ray.
Yep.
You see what he did the other day? Oof. I mean, you got Greinke back after an offseason 2 years ago, and you got Robbie Ray. That is a dynamic 1-2 punch that the Dodgers don't have. I'm going to make a prediction right now. 92 wins will win the West. That's it. 92. So
I would agree.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It could be that type of NL West season.
Yeah, because I think there's enough question marks out there that trend towards the negative with every single club.
Right.
Where you don't see somebody just vaulting and no one ever catching their tails.
All right. Sure. Are the Padres going to be in the mix? Are we way ahead of schedule with the Padres this year? Could they be
right
a surprise
now.
Breakout team? Again, no one was predicting Arizona would win 93 games last year. No one had Colorado in the playoffs. Could the Padres be a surprise team? The man that's going to break it all down, he knows. Tony Gwynn Jr. will join the Cannons coming up next.
Tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, we're going to speak it into existence like LeVar, hoping to hear from Chase Headley, Padres third baseman at 8:30. Also, what's a successful season for manager Andy Green? We'll tell you what we think. See you at 6 a.m. on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
The Cannon Shot of the Day winner gets a pair of tickets to go see Rascal Flatts September 14th out at Mattress Room Amphitheater. Call us 570-1360, tweet at Cannon Hartman at Costa 1360, or text to 70470. Start your message with XTRA.
I want to remind everyone, we mentioned this during the fusion, we have a major announcement coming up at 5:30. A major, what are you laughing about?
Oh, nothing.
It's a major announcement.
Oh, nothing.
I mean, you know, when I don't want to overplay things, but this is a major announcement at 5:30.
It is. It is.
It's also a major announcement that joining us right now to tell us just how great this 2018 season is going to be for the San Diego Padres is our dear friend, Tony Gwynn Jr. Anthony, how are you today?
I'm well. How about you guys?
We are doing well. Obviously, we're anxious to start the season. What's your biggest observation out of the spring? The team had a pretty good record in the spring, but what to you was the biggest story to come out of the spring for the Padres?
Oh, biggest story. And it doesn't necessarily impact this squad to start the year, but I thought watching Urias and Tatis Jr., I walked away really impressed with what they did there in the spring. I think we still are waiting to see how Tatis does at the Double A level, where you know you start to face some more comparable pitchers to the big league level. But I thought they had a very professional like at bats pretty much all spring. We're talking about guys who are really young and don't have a lot of experience. And I just thought they handled themselves well. Defensively, they were very impressed. I thought all the way around, you feel good about those two going into this season.
Anthony, from what you saw from Tatis, do you think that he's going to get up to the parent club maybe a lot sooner than a lot of people think?
Yes, I think so. I don't know if it'll be this year, but I think going into spring, in my mind, it was out of the question. After spring, it's not completely out of the question. I think you could see him later on this year, depending on, you know, different things happening. But I definitely walked away very impressed with not just the things that jump out to you, the obvious, the power. He can run a little bit. He's very smooth defensively, but the way he put together at bats in spring training, and mind you, I understand it's just spring training, but for a guy his age to be able to command an at bat the way he did, pretty much night in and night out, I was very impressive.
Last year in the NFL, the Rams became the first team ever to finish last in the NFL in scoring 1 year and lead the NFL in scoring the very next year. I'm not going to say that's happening to the Padres, who are last in the majors and runs scored in just about every significant offensive category. But at least to me, Tony, I mean, they look like they could have a decent offense, which is better than a horrible offense. Just how good can this lineup be, assuming, of course, they can keep everybody on the field?
I mean, honestly, look, it remains to be seen how good they can be offensively. Obviously, we haven't got to opening day yet, but the philosophy has changed. You know, Matt Stairs coming in, I think, could be considered their best move next to Hossam. I mean, I think he's going to have that type of influence on these guys. And you saw it during spring training. I mean, it wasn't just Tatis and Urias who were having those bad. It was almost every guy was much better than they were the year before putting together at bats. Now, you want to see this obviously translate to the regular season, but I think their offense has a chance to be decent. You know, I think we'd all be fooling ourselves if we came out right now and said they're going to go from last to first in offense, in a lot of offensive categories. But there's going to be significant improvement offensively, I think, when they construct the lineup and you see the guys in the lineup who are in there day in and day out.
Padres analyst Anthony Gwynn Jr. with us. Follow him on Twitter at Tony Gwynn Jr. Anthony, is the rotation, the starting rotation, is that maybe the biggest question on a lot of people's minds as we go into the season?
Yeah, I think it has to be, really. I mean, you know what you're getting from Clayton Richard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really your most solid option every fifth day. You know what you're going to get. Good, bad, and different. He's going to be the same guy. He's going to get you to the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, depending on, you know, what the score is and how many runs you need offensively. But he's dependable. I think after that, Denelson Lamet, his elbow issue is kind of is a problem really for the Padres at this point. You'd never want to have a guy who's as talented as he is, and he has a very high ceiling to go down. So that's a question mark. I think there's a chance that they are going to be able to catch lightning in a bottle here with Tyson Ross. I don't think anybody expected him to come out and look as good as he looked. His arm was free. I mean, the ball was just coming out of his hand really well. So I'm excited to see what he can do as well in the rotation. But again, these are all question marks. You got Perdomo, who really stepped it up towards the second half of spring training and pitched well, really solidifying his spot. So you look, obviously I think that is the biggest question mark for the Padres team. And moving forward, if they can get some unexpected production out of it, I think they'll feel pretty good about that.
Well, one guy, Anthony, they're looking at is this Brian Mitchell. This is a guy that A.J. Preller reportedly had been trying to snare from the Yankees for several years. He never really did much of anything with the Yankees. And in four starts this spring, his ERA was over 8. Am I missing something here? Is there some gem here in Brian Mitchell that's going to come to fruition this year for the Padres?
Well, listen, there's no doubt that the talent is there. Yeah, I think it really just becomes putting it together. And he hasn't had a lot of big league experience. So there's going to be a learning curve, just like there was for Lamet, just like there was for Perdomo. He doesn't have a lot of big league experience, big league innings at this point. So I think what AJ sees in him is the talent. And when you have a lot of question marks at the pitching, in the pitching rotation, in the pitching in general, you're willing to take some shots and see what sticks. But he certainly has the arm and the talent to be a very good pitcher at the big league level. It just remains to be seen how he's going to do, because he doesn't have that many innings.
Anthony, all of us baseball experts who work in, you know, sports talk radio, they have one bad outing. It's like, oh my God, the season's lost. It's going to be the worst team ever. When can you adequately judge what type of team you have? Is it a month into it? Is it 6-7 weeks? When do you normally think, okay, I have an idea of what this club's going to be like?
I always said it was like mid to late June. You start to figure out what kind of team you have, what you're going to get from guys day in and day out. And probably for the first time in a while, Andy Green will have a better idea than he probably has before. Because they're, I think the veteran presence on this ball club, it's a very young team, but the veterans that they have in the different areas of the team, I think it will benefit this ball club. These guys get an opportunity to, some of the younger guys get an opportunity to see what it's like, to see how you're supposed to work, prepare every single day from guys who have some credentials. I mean, obviously bringing in Eric Hosmer is such a big move, but also bringing in guys like Freddie Galvez, even Chase Headley. These are moves that have an impact on the young guys, not only from a playing standpoint, but just a preparation standpoint. So I think probably earlier than in the past few years, I think Andy Green will have a better idea what he has come mid-June, late June of this season.
You know, we were trying to figure out the National League West. Last year, Dodgers overachieved, Arizona overachieved, Colorado overachieved, the Giants grossly underachieved, maybe even the Padres overachieved, most people predicting they would have the worst record in baseball, which is why I ran the bases in my underwear and paying off a bet. It cost us. You missed that one. That was I had to pay off that bet because I predicted the Padres were going to have the worst record in baseball, and obviously they did not. Is this a division, though, that's going to be coming back to earth, so to speak, from some of the lofty win totals we saw in 2017?
Well, first, I don't know how much I missed on you running the bases.
it was phenomenal, really.
Consider yourself lucky.
But you have to think so, right? I think Arizona, Colorado came in way higher than everybody. But I think everybody thought that Arizona would make some noise, but to the extent that they did, it's hard to believe anybody saw that coming.
Right.
The Dodgers definitely, I think everybody from the very beginning knew they were going to be a really good team. And I thought, really, they came back down to earth towards the end of the year. So I don't know if they really overachieved, but I think they finished probably where they were. But I just think this division is going to be one of the toughest divisions in baseball. I mean, the Giants are better. I think the Rockies will take a step back. I think the Diamondbacks will still probably take a step back. You lose a guy like Martinez and all that production in the second half. It's completely changed their team. And I like the young kid, Souza, that they got in the Tampa deal. But J.D. Martinez, that's a tough hole to fill. So, I mean, really, you got the Dodgers at the top still. But this division, I think, will come back down to earth. You know, the Dodgers are going to come in a year without Justin Turner for a little bit. They're still trying to figure out things on the position player side. So I think this division will come back down to earth, but it's still going to be one of the toughest divisions of baseball.
Anthony, always appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you once LeBron signs with the Lakers, okay?
I can't wait.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man.
All right, there he is,
Anthony Gwynn Jr.,
man. All right, so I think that, you know, the good thing about talking to Tony about these things is I think he has good perspective.
Yes.
But I do think, you know, again, no one predicted the NL West would have three playoff teams. That is not going to happen in 2018. So the Padres play a little bit better, they get back into the mix.
All right, we just talked about it. Rams went from the worst offensive team to the best offensive team in the NFL. In Major League Baseball, can the Padres do the same? We'll break it down after this.
Hey, what's up? It's Rich coming up tomorrow right at noon on the Mark and Rich Show. Okay, so it's been around for decades now, but one head coach in the NFL says it needs to be done away with. We'll tell you what we're talking about right at noon on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Cannons on a Tuesday. Now, make sure you're getting to sportssd.com. That's like every day, all right? Every single day. Check out the Cannons page. We have uncovered the truth about Costa's tormentor, Mark Mud Grant, and who he secretly roots for in college basketball. It's all there.
Yes, it is.
At sportssd.com.
Who knew?
Yeah, exactly. Over the top, over the top. All right. Give me something, right? Give me something right now, Brim.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
This volcano of hot talent lava to turn that lava into Major League Rock.
That's what they're saying.
Can't deny it.
Hot lava. That's what that Padre lineup is looking like in 2018.
But can that hot lava go from worst to best?
All right, now I want to correct something I said about the Rams. In this Super Bowl era, the Rams are the only team ever to have the lowest scoring team 1 year and the highest scoring team the following year. They went from 14.0 points a game to 29.9 in 1 year. Crazy. There actually was another team, the 1965 49ers.
Okay.
But that was, again, before the merger, and it was a much smaller NFL. So the question is, the Padres were last in the majors in just about every offensive category. Run score, batting average, on-base percentage, OPS, all those categories. How much better can this offense be? Now, Anthony Gwynn Jr. is insisting it could be better, but how much better? I go back to the spring averages, and we bring Ernie in once again because he's infatuated with spring training numbers. So some of the final spring training, imagine this lineup. You have Pirela hitting 385.
Okay, so far so good.
All right, so he'll hit 385 this year. Will Myers, 362.
Oh, my God. We got a murderer's row going.
Silent leader.
You have Asuaje at 339.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so those were the big names high on that list.
There's any more?
Hosmer hit 273. Oh,
solid.
Galvis, 269.
Solid.
Renfro, 266. Margot, 250. Mm. Headley, who Ernie doesn't even recognize as a Padre, at 243. Jankowski at 195.
Now, last spring, didn't all those numbers seem like they were 100 points less?
No. No, spring numbers are always out of sight.
So what you're saying is that once we get the regular season here, okay, they're going to jump 100 points?
Look at for the sake of the conversation here, I mean, since we can only focus on spring training, that's all we could focus on.
All right,
on
now, I got last year's. For instance, you know what Myers hit in spring last year? He hit 407 last year.
All right.
In the spring.
But the ball was juiced last year in Cactus.
100%.
Yes, and Renfro hit 315 last year. But yeah, there were a lot of guys that really struggled last year. Most of them are no longer with the team. So, no, I just, when I look at the Padres, they have to learn how to manufacture runs. You know, they set a franchise record for home runs, and yet you're last in the majors in runs scored. That's a lot of solo shots. So, have we seen any indication this spring that they can move runners around, get a little hit and run going?
I think they did.
You know, figure out how to get two or three runs without having the long ball.
Yeah, I can't recall last year's spring training versus this year's spring training, but it seemed to me in highlights we saw and what we read about their Cactus League games that they were doing a better job of getting guys forward on the bases and moving people around with the singles and with the doubles. So from that aspect, yeah, I think they're going to be better offensively. I think it's unrealistic to think in terms of worst to best.
I think if any indication over the final week in a spring training, they scored 22 runs in three games. At one point, they came back from a 7-0 deficit against the Rangers. They were getting guys on base, and they were driving them in. They were still doing it via the long ball, but they were finding other ways to get guys in.
All right, we don't know the lineups yet. We don't even know the 25-man roster yet. Getting ready for Thursday's opening game. Who is your leadoff? Give us your lineup right now. Give us that optimum lineup for you. Who's leading off, Padre?
Manny Margot.
All right, Manny Margot is your leadoff hitter. Who's hitting behind him? That's a key guy. Number two in the lineup.
Perea.
All right. Pirela. All right. Who's batting third?
Hosmer,
and he's got Myers behind him. Who's protecting Will Myers in the lineup?
Asuaje?
You know what? Renfro. I don't know. Maybe you put Hunter Renfro fourth, and maybe put Will Myers fifth.
Wow. All right, and number six?
Galvis.
Galvis six? Mm. Where you got Hedges eight?
Yeah.
Where's Chase Headley?
He should be last. Is he in the lineup?
12?
What happened there? He's not in our lineup.
So you have Asuaje hitting seventh. Is that right?
Oh, Asuaje. I forgot about Asuaje.
What do you mean you forgot about him? You only can get eight guys in the lineup.
So
right?
Little faith.
I would go Asuaje, Galvis, then Hedges.
Okay. So
after Myers.
Okay. So your outfield is what? You have four outfielders out there. How many outfielders do you have? did you have Renfro in the lineup?
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
And did you have P. Rayla in the lineup? And Margo and Myers. That's
but
four.
He has P. Rayla playing third.
Oh, yeah. P. Rayla playing third.
I never mentioned
Chase Headley.
Headley's on the bench.
On the bench. Does he know that?
Not yet. We haven't. He hasn't walked to his locker.
Ernie didn't tweet at him yet.
Okay. All right. So
the red tag in his locker hanging.
Yeah. Why don't you reach out to them the way you did for Hosmer? It seems to be magic. All right. Let's qualify some right now for the cannon shot of the day. A drum roll, please. This out. Cannon shot came from
our text line. I don't care what they hit, how they do, what the overall record is going to be. They are here, and the smell of Spanos is not Go Pods.
Somehow that Spanos smell seems to infiltrate the show every single day. All right, we get ready for the 4 of 4, the biggest sports stories of the day, including if you want a really good laugh, you will have one. Coming up next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.